D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 373, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by George Hernandez from 123computerrepair.com. Welcome to the show, George.
Thank you, Jeff. Always a pleasure being on the show here.
Oh, it's nice to have you. I'm sure where you're at down in Florida, it's probably a little bit warmer than where I'm at. So
this is paradise here.
That's what I hear from all the Floridians. Well, why don't we get started in, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and basically how you got started in computer repair?
Well, yes, I have a computer science degree. I have my MCSC certification. I've been playing with computers since day one. And I really got involved into the computer field when, back in the old days when I was working, I got involved in the accounting department. And they always needed help with computers. You know, my printer's not working. Jorge, can you help me here? Can you help me there? Blah, blah, blah. So little by little, I was kind of an accountant, MIS guy. And then when I finished college, I really had no experience. So that's when I went for my MCSC certification courses. And that's when things really started to, you know, exploded. So, okay. I've been doing consulting on the side with friends for many years, but my business was officially registered back in 2009. And that's when I decided to create my website, business cards and everything and make it official. So it's been quite a good ride so far.
Well, that's awesome. That's so you've been actually you've been working on computers for a long time, but it sounds like you just got started officially with your business in 2009, which is kind of the same thing that I did. I didn't start my official business till 2010, but I'd been working on computers since like 1999. So
yes, I don't have a shop. I work as a full-time employee in the corporate world.
Okay.
I work as a network administrator. And after 5 o'clock, you know, I put on my IT consultant uniform and just hit the road. And lately, it's been extremely busy with this XP expiration,
okay,
you know, coming upon us and just getting a lot of customers, you know, calling, Jorge, can you upgrade? And I've been completely booked for the last 3 weeks. So, you know, it's a blessing that, you know, things are the Microsoft decided to get rid of XP for now. So,
right.
You know, it comes in waves. So I'm enjoying the wave right now.
Now, what are you suggesting for your customers that are coming to you that say, you know, I've got a desktop or a laptop that's got XP on it?
It all depends. I mean, if the hardware can support Windows 7, then I go with Windows 7. And, you know, if they really want to stick with Windows XP, then I really have to explain what the consequences and the security issues are going to be. So, you know, I'm not that panicking about not, you know, using XP on the internet. I know, you know, of course, you and I know how to use it properly,
right,
and how to, you know, protect ourselves. But regular users don't know that. So once they start hearing that, you know, Microsoft is not going to be patching Windows XP anymore, then they really get concerned and they want to move forward with the next level. So that's where Windows 7 comes into place.
Okay. Now, are you finding, because most of the people that come to me that say they have a Windows XP machine, they're telling me, you know, I ask how old's the machine, you know, and some of them are outrageous. I know they're not that old, but, you know, some will say 8, 10, I've even heard 15, and I'm like, there's no way that computer can be 15 years old.
No. In those cases, normally, you know, sometimes it depends on the kind of customer that you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a cheap customer, then, you know, there's always the refurbished option. I mean, you can get a decent refurbished computer for $200, $300. with Windows 7, 4 gig of RAM, a good processor, a good hard drive. So that's always an option for people that cannot afford expensive computers. And if it's somebody that really, you know, can afford, then we'll go with a brand new computer. You know, $700-$800 for a decent business kind of computer. So it all depends.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's hard to tell people. I guess all you can do is educate them and let them know, hey, here's what's going on. And they got to kind of make that decision. I've even, you know, some people that do a limited amount of things on the internet, I've really kind of told them, I said, hey, if the machine's running fine right now, you're probably fine. If you're seeing some slowdown or something, you want me to clean it up, I can. I said, I don't think anything's going to happen, you know, April 9th. No, the day after that Microsoft, you know, quits their support. But at the same time, I said, I would probably look into getting another computer. And what a lot of these people have told me, even though they have a desktop that's running Windows XP sitting on their desk, most of them have a laptop that they're using, you know, anyways, it's got Windows 7 on it.
Yes.
And so it's kind of like, well, you've got a couple computers, you know, I think you'll be fine. I said, you know, and like you said, the computers are so inexpensive nowadays. You might as well go out and buy a new one.
Get a new one.
I know. Even like 3-4 years old, I think I still would suggest, you know what, for the price, you might as well go get a new one and let's just start from there. So
yes, I agree with that.
So what other types of things have you been working on in the shop?
Well, I don't have a shop, remember. I do everything outside my house. And I don't think that my goal is to have a shop, honestly, because just the expense of opening a store, advertising, you know, phone system and a security alarm. And,
right.
I try in my younger years, my entrepreneur blood, you know, I went into a business with a partner of mine and we decided to compete with Office Depot, you know, like office furniture. And that was not a good experience. So the taste that I have of that bad experience is still, for me, I really neglect to open a shop. So I'm fine working out of my home. I don't see customers in my house. So everything that I do is offsite.
Or gotcha. Okay.
I'm getting involved now because the computer repair part is something that I'm fading out. I haven't opened a computer in about a year. I mean, my goal is to move away from that section of the business and get more involved in the IT consulting. I've been landing a couple of business accounts, and really, that's where the money is.
Right.
You know, comparing residential customers with business accounts, you go to a residential account, and let's say in my case, my standard rate is $89. It's a flat fee. I go there, I fix the problem, and then I go out. Or if I fix a computer or install Windows or something, flat fee, $89. The problem with that is that you're attached to that fee whether you come across problems or not. Sometimes you go and you deliver a computer, and what's my Skype ID? I don't know what my Gmail password is.
Right.
I forgot my Yahoo Messenger login credentials. And, you know, then you have to research and give them the tools and fix the problem. Maybe the printer's not working, or, you know, you spend more time trying to isolate problems than really what the final goal was of just getting your money. So, when you're dealing with business accounts, it's different. You go to on site, you bill by the hour, and you know, if it's weekdays, you bill one rate. If it's the weekend, then you bill another rate. So I think that my goal is to move away from residential customers and stick more to business accounts.
I agree.
And I know that there was a post that recently it was released by TechNable. And, you know, you can probably go to the Technival website and look it up, because it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago that somebody posted something like that. You know, I'm abandoning my residential customers and I'm following that advice.
No, that's true. You know, one of the things I still think there's going to be break fix out there, and basically somebody breaks their computer. There's still going to be some money in that. But what I've always, my analogy to that has always been, it's not a lot different than being a car salesman.
Yes.
Because you're only going to sell that customer one car, you know, maybe every couple of years.
Yes.
And my thing with a computer, when I fix it, whether it's a virus removal or replace a part, I don't plan on seeing that customer for at least another year unless they've got multiple computers. So yes. It's very few and far between my customers. I don't see them a whole lot. So yeah, it's something that you have to do every month in order to make money. And I think managed services is something that every technician needs to move into, because you've got to have that diversification. And I think a lot of people are, they might be having a hard time with that, you know, as far as getting a hold of certain people to try to get in these businesses. But man, there is a lot of places where I've run into that their computer tech is usually a worker that works at that business.
Yes.
And usually
most of the time that's the case. Yes. Yep.
And so when they really screw something up, then they're calling us.
I know. I'll give you an example. I got a call the other day from a lady, and she was having problems, and she said, "You got to come right away." By the way, this was a holiday. I don't know if it was a Wednesday or Thursday. I was off. It was a holiday. I was spending time with my family. I get this panic call. My computer is infected. You have to come right away.
Right.
Okay. I put on my uniform, my credentials, and everything. Boom, go there. And the problem that she was having is that her browser was in full screen mode. You know, when you press F11.
Right.
And she was saying that her user ID and password was not working. She was trying to put user ID and password on the Google login site.
Okay.
Of course, I go in there, press F11 here. That's your problem. It's $79. And she looks at me like, "What?" I feel so. we know what the problem is. We know how to fix it, but they don't.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you get these customers with negative reactions just because you spend 2 minutes or 3 minutes. That's fine. I took my time to take care of your problem, whether it was a minute or 1 hour.
Right.
I solved the problem. So, you know, I don't think that attitude or negative comments should be, you know, my reward.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, if you know what you're doing, you deserve to be paid for that.
Well, and that's what the customer is paying us for, our knowledge. Our knowledge, yes, we've either gained by research, on the job training, or however we got it. That's how we're getting, you know, this knowledge, which they're not taking the time to get that knowledge. So when you don't have, you know, I've explained this to my kids. I said, "Listen, I don't expect you to know how to do everything, but I expect you to know a little bit about the processes to doing certain things, whether it be plumbing, looking, you know, changing oil on your car or anything like that. Because if not, it's going to be very costly for some guy to tell you, 'Yeah, you need an engine rehaul,' you know, when all you needed really was an oil change."
Or just use common sense.
Exactly.
Logic. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
There you go.
On the other hand, you know, I got a call from a business account and, you know, their server went down. So, you know, I go on site. I had to deal with a server problem. This was not really a server. This was, they call it a server, but it's just a peer-to-peer workstation.
Right.
So, you know, I go there, we remove the server, we transfer all the data, we set up a NAS instead of a server.
Okay, good.
You know, you have to deal with the network printers, right, network scanning to PDF, scanning to email. They want to set up dual monitors. They want to set up backups. They want a monthly recurring support contract. So, I mean, just look at the difference here. You're spending, what, 6, 7, 8 hours dealing with this problem, plus you have recurring monthly income when you're supporting your business account. So,
right.
I mean, it's a big difference.
Yes. And I think, too, I think, you know, even if you still do break fix, I think one of the things you can do is you can actually, you have a better shot of choosing your customers.
Yes,
and you definitely. Know, so if you raise your rates or whatever, certain people are going to still want to use you because they trust you and they know you. So, you know, that's a good thing, you know, that reputation there. But yeah, definitely the managed services, and I believe you can make a lot more money. And as we've seen from a lot of people, you know, in a lot of these techs that we've, you know, listened to, we've yes. seen a lot of them are making good money doing managed mm-hmm. services and, you know, maybe a little bit of break fix. So
not only that, there are a lot of other services. Like in my case, I'm a reseller of Carbonite.
Yep.
So, you know, I'll give you an example. I sold the Carbonite business plan to a customer last year. And Carbonite pays you like, what, $40, $50 for the yearly renewal. Right. Every year you get that fee.
Right.
So, I mean, as long as the customer stays with you, you get that fee.
Yep.
So, I mean, a little bit here, a little bit there, it helps.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Well, that's cool. So what other types of things are you working on in the show? What things have you seen coming in? You doing a lot of virus removals or hard drive crashes? Or
a lot of junk toolbars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
I
all
know.
These toolbars and all these add-ins that they get embedded in your browser. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, you mm-hmm. know, and one of my favorite tools for this is the junkware removal tool.
Yes.
And the adware removal tool. I
yep.
think that's what it's, malware removal or something like that. I'll look it up. But those tools, I mean, it's amazing the kind of work that they do in order to get rid of all that junk. So, but not really viruses like hijacking your PC or anything
right.
like that. It's just those annoying toolbars and rerouting your internet traffic. And, you know, it's just insane.
Yeah, those are, you know what? It's one of those things. I actually don't mind doing them because it doesn't take a whole lot of my time, but it gets redundant. You know, you keep doing it over and over again and you kind of like, man, really?
Yeah, the tools are called the adware removal tool
yep.
and the junkware removal tool.
That junkware removal tool is a very, very powerful
it's
tool.
Beautiful, yeah. beautiful.
Now, are you putting on Checky? On your customers' computers?
No, I'm not. I'm
okay.
not. You know, if my goal is to make money. So if a customer installs something, they're going to have to call me and I will uncheck it.
There you go. That's a good way to look at it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I know it's a, I played around with it a little bit and I was like, well, should I put this on? Shouldn't I? You know, so
it's just, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, how many things can you put in a computer? You know,
right.
a web of trust, checking,
right.
malware bytes, Microsoft Security Essentials. I mean, how many tools can you, you know, what I do is I create two accounts for my customers. One is the account that they're going to be using on a daily basis, which is a restricted account, a limited account.
Okay.
And then an admin account. And I explained to them what the difference is. So that kind of solved the problem temporarily until they really want to get sophisticated and start doing things. And they start using the admin account instead. So
I would say that would be hard to keep people on the restricted account when they go, wait a minute, I can do everything on this admin account. Why wouldn't I?
I know.
Oh, that's funny. Wow. Oh.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, I just landed another contract with another account. It's a small hotel here that we have in the Fort Lauderdale area.
Okay.
And my goal was simply to remove all the computer equipment that they had, which is, you know, old servers and old slow computers. We got brand new computers, brand new servers. You know, I'm monitoring their daily backups on a daily basis, on a monthly basis. They are on a monthly plan. For monitoring the server, you know, you know, a lot of things that needed to be done on site, like a Wi-Fi for the whole hotel. And when you get an account like that, I mean, it really makes you, you know, this is where I want to be. That's what
right.
I want to do.
Now, how did you land that account?
It was just a referral.
Okay.
I had a friend of mine that worked with us. And he moved out of town, and then he moved down to Miami, and he met some friends that they live in Fort Lauderdale. Oh, by the way, I have a friend of mine. His name is Jorge. He works in computers, and you never know. You never know when somebody's going to call you, whether it's a referral or whether it's a business card that you gave somebody in a meeting or something like that. You know, word of mouth is my best advertising tool. Right. I don't spend money in advertising. I don't use Google AdWords or anything like that. The only thing that I use is Google Places and anything that is free.
Okay.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're getting just by word of mouth and your reputation alone, you're getting, that's where you're running your business from. That's phenomenal.
Yes. Very cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So what are the types of things you're working on?
Well, I'm becoming a dental software expert here.
Okay.
I landed a dental office contract.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
And they use a software that is called Dentrix. So I had to learn the software. I had to, you know, configure the software. I had to back up the databases, restore the databases. So, I mean, I became an expert. And I'm not 100% an expert, but at least I know my way around.
Right.
And now I'm officially in the dental field computer area. So, you know, that's something that helped. And the funny thing is that I get a call to support one site. The next thing you know is you find out that they have three more offices. So they need help in those three other offices. And that's what I'm telling you about business accounts.
I think that's true, because I think once you get once you get into a business and they start talking to people either in the same building across the hall or, you know, somebody even they know across town, you can get a lot of business referrals that way. And that's, I think that's how most technicians start. I had a call just out of the blue for it was a doctor's office. They do, therapeutic stuff. Anyways, they just called me because they're like, hey, this computer's running slow. We need some help.
Yes.
Okay. So I go over there and, you know, I clean the computer up. And again, one of the guys that worked there was actually taking care of the computers, but it hadn't been updated in, you know, probably years. Yeah. I can't remember if the antivirus was even running or not, but there's a lot of things that weren't working on it. And I'm like going, so what was he maintaining? I don't get it, but...
I know.
I think a lot of times people are just, especially businesses, you have to explain to them, listen, how much is your uptime really worth? You know, do you want to be down for silly things like this? Or do you want to, you know, do you want to just be able to do your day in and day out business where you make money at it? You know, so.
Yes.
But,
yeah, you know, in my case, some of the things that have worked for me is, you know, it's like a, again, word of mouth is my best advertising tool. I have some flyers that I made. I don't know if I can show you this on the screen here. You know, like flyers like this. You know,
oh, yeah. Okay.
They offer my services. They have my company logo and everything like that. So
yeah, that's sharp.
Yeah, you know, this is a pamphlet that I make. You know, the $5,000, $10,000, and it costs you like $100. So
right.
I mean, I got my ID badge, you know, when I go on site, I present my ID just to make it look professional. So, you know, it's like when you have an appointment with your cable company, they come, they are properly identified. So, you know, you want to present a good image to your customers, make sure that you look professional. I have my T-shirt, you know, with my logo.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, I have my magnets in my car. So, I mean, it's just when I go to a place, I'm fully loaded with advertising material, and you
right.
want to look sharp and professional. So that also helps.
Well, that idea, that's a great tip, because it's something personally I would have never thought of, you know, because mm-hmm. it being a one-man shop, I would, well, I need an ID for, I know who I am, you know, but I think for the customers to go, hey, it's, you know, this is a legit guy, and, you know, and he actually is, you know, working for whatever company. So that's good.
And every time I leave a customer site, I always give out my business cards, you know, just give out business cards, you know, okay, here are three business cards. and you know, just keep them around. I also have stickers that I put on computers, you know, on the bottom of the computers or maybe on the side of the tower.
Okay.
With my company name, my name, and my email address and my phone number, just in case if somebody ever gets a hold of that computer, then they know who to call.
Right. That's a good idea with a sticker. I would have never thought of that either. That's a good tip because I actually put magnets on there. You know, I've got business card magnets that I put on there, you know, because I never know, you know, sometimes people will take them off, throw them on their fridge or whatever, you know, that type of thing. But with a sticker, you know, unless they take the effort to peel it off, which you're probably not going to, it's going to stay right there. No, so that's a good tip.
It doesn't come off. It doesn't come off. I try to peel it off using Windex or something like that. It just stays there.
Oh, that's good.
I know. The other thing is, like, you know, and when you're dealing with business accounts, you have the option of setting up your own rates. In my case, you know, I can say, okay, my regular weekdays are X amount of dollars. You know, right. In this area, normally, let's say $75 an hour, it's a fairly acceptable amount for any kind of IT consultant.
Okay.
Weekend rates. During the weekend, then you can jump up to a 125 or 150. So it all depends on the kind of, you know, how many hours they want to work with you. Do they want to work during the week? You know, if it's the weekend, then, you know, sometimes they're more hesitating to do it on the weekend because it's more expensive.
Right.
And I can understand because, you know, I have my family. I have two kids. I want to be with my family during the weekend, not just working outside and spending time with, you know, dealing with problems.
Right.
But if they pay the money, I don't have any problems with it.
Right. No, that's good. That's, you know what, that's a good way to think about it because, again, that's a good idea that, you know, time is important to all of us because we all have, you know, a lot of us have families and stuff like that, people we want to hang out with. And to charge for that time, you know, even on, you know, for a weekend, if you want it done, we can get it done, but it's going to cost a little bit extra. I like that.
I know. And that normally happens, I mean, because, you know, I'm in the IT field, you know, when I'm dealing during regular hours with IT support, I have to call people that may need to go to some of our stores. I mean, we have about 50 retail stores all over the U.S., so I have to get some local, sometimes on-site support from local techs, and when I call them up, that's where I get all these tips. You know, okay, if it's weekdays, it's X amount. If it's weekend, it's this amount. So you learn as you play with the system, you know?
Right. That's a good tip too. Yeah. Wow. That's that's cool.
And the other thing, I mean, it's hard. Like in my case, I don't have a shop. I don't have a storefront. And a lot of people sometimes they question you about that. Well, really, I don't have any problems with that because I've been doing consulting for many years and I've been official in business for a couple of years already. If people don't like the fact that I don't have a shop, and you know what? Go find a shop. I don't have any problems with that. It's just the perception that you're trying to give out. You know, like in my case, I don't respond to phone calls or customer inquiries during my regular working hours because from 8 to 5, I'm committed to the corporate world,
right?
Not to my business. You know, a 2 minutes or 1 minute email response, that's fine. I can do that during break or lunchtime or whenever. And normally, if I get a call from a customer, and customers sometimes are very tricky, you know, Jorge, please call me back. I have a quick question. Well, let me explain you what happened. My hard drive died, and now I'm getting this message on the computer. And then you get involved in the conversation of trying to troubleshoot the problem when you are at work. So I just decided I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to answer emails or emails and texts. It's okay because it's fairly easy and quick.
Right.
But I cannot take time to deal with my personal issues. So. Right. You know, you just got to deal with that. And if somebody asks you, you know, do you have a shop? Just be upfront. Say, no, I don't have a shop. I'm a home-based business.
Right.
I've been in business for many years. And don't give out the impression that you are IBM or Microsoft because at the end, it's going to come back and bite you. So just play it fair. I always tell my customers, I have a day job, so I'm available after 5 o'clock. If you can wait for me, driving time and until 6 o'clock, then I'll be available for you. Right. So just be clear with them.
No, that's good. Yeah, I'm a little bit different here. Most of my customers actually come to the house because, I charge a little bit cheaper rate, if you come to the house, whereas if I come out to you, it's a little more expensive. So a lot of them choose to come out to this area. Now, I advertise with Google AdWords, but I only do it in a 5 mile radius because personally, I really don't want to go out any farther than that. So when I have to go out, it's within a 5 mile radius, which is fine. But most customers will come right here. And the ones that kind of say, oh, you work out of your home? Yeah, I work out of my home. Some of them, they don't mind that, and some do, and you don't ever hear from them again. Yep. But that's fine. I want the one-on-one, the customer to trust me when I'm doing a job for them, that they're going to come back, they're going to tell their family members, and I'm going to get more business that way.
Yes.
So I get people traveling from outside of that 5 mile radius just because the customers like the job that I did and they go and talk to their family member, which, they live, 15 miles away. They're still willing to drive out here because they trust what their family member told them.
Yes. Yes. In my case, I charge for my, what I call a trip charge. If it's within 5 miles, it's a flat fee, let's say $25, $30. If it's something out of the 5 miles radio, then, you got to go with a higher fee, fuel expenses. So it could be $50 traveling fee. I'm still not charging for my traveling time. I'm considering that.
Okay.
Because whether I'm driving to a customer or not, I'm spending time because I'm going to see the customer. So I'm still debating that, whether I should charge just a trip charge or maybe like an hourly fee or something. I don't know. I'm still debating that option.
Yeah, I definitely think you need to charge for the time one way or another, whether it's a flat fee or you're charging for the actual time that you're out. I know talking to some other computer repair techs, they, from the time they get in their car and the driving time, they charge both ways and whatever the time they're doing, especially for businesses.
Yes.
And businesses, I think, are used to that. They understand that, hey, this guy's spending a lot more time than just the couple hours in here working on things. So.
Yes. The other thing is I don't base my pricing based on what pizza tech guys are offering in Craigslist. I don't even use Craigslist.
No.
I've seen a lot of people, oh, this is the best thing in the world. And for me, Craigslist, I think I haven't used it. We use it only once when a friend of ours needed to rent a room or something like that. But that's not my kind of advertising strategy. I'm not going to compete with the cheapest guys on the street. I'm not going to compete with the most expensive guys. I think I'm fairly priced. If customers like my price, then I'm okay with it. So you really have to stick to a strategy of not being the lowest guy in the in town, because at the end, you're not going to make any money with that.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely not a low guy here, but I know I'm not charging enough when my customers keep going, that's it?
Yeah, I know.
$79, that's all you want? It's like, okay. And they're like going, that's great, And but I get that more often than not. That's it,
So. I've been increasing my rates a little bit at the time. I started with the $79 an hour, and then that's my discounted rate now for first time customers. My official rate is $89.
Okay.
Just for a basic on-site visit or a basic troubleshooting. For example, Windows 7, I'm charging $99 for reinstalling Windows 7. I'm charging a $39 data transfer and setup fee plus $29 for trip charge. So at the end, you add a little bit of money on additional items that can compensate your time and your expenses.
That's a great tip. So, I'm looking at your website right here, and it says, Yeah, Windows 7 Vista or XP installation. You're not still doing XP installations, are you?
No, no. By the way, this website, remember, I'm moving to the business world. So this computer repair website is going to go away pretty soon. I have it there because, I mean, this is what I started with.
Right.
I have affiliate links. I have PayPal. This is how I get pay via credit cards. And by the way, I don't get paid via credit card maybe twice or three times since I've been in business,
right.
Maybe, you know, like 3-4 years. So it's a good tool to have. You know, I used to have a newsletter. I'm not writing anymore. I'm not okay. A writer. You know, I have a Twitter account. I tried to set up a Facebook account, but I don't know. For me, the social media doesn't work for me. So
right.
I guess I don't know how to swim in those waters. So
well,
it's something different.
Social media can be very time consuming because I'm trying to play around in a few things and I'm making some associations with some of these, you know, LinkedIn, not so much Facebook, but you know, Google Plus and stuff like that. And they're good and I'm sure they're useful, but they can take a lot of time away from you. So,
yes.
I don't want to spend hours and hours a day like some people and, you know, go in those areas. So
I know. Another thing that I do is, you know, sometimes customers, they really want to test how much you can give them for the price that you're offering.
Right.
And even though you went to their house, you fixed their computer, and you set up the printers, and you set up all the emails, accounts, and everything, they still want more. They ask you, can you check this laptop for me real quick? It's just a little tiny problem. It's just a Wi-Fi problem. And then you get yourself involved in spending more time. My answer to that is, I'm here to cover the repair on your home computer. If we deviate to the laptop or anything else, I'm going to have to charge you for that. So are you okay with that? I give them warning. As soon as I give them the warning, then all the problems are solved. You know, that's okay. Don't worry. We'll do it later. And you really have to set up your boundaries on how far you're going to let your customers go, because if they keep calling you, I don't mind a first-time customer calling me for a quick question. But if it becomes recurring and it becomes something that I have to remote in and fix something that they broke, which when I left the computer, everything was fine. You know,
right.
My response to that is, listen, everything is working fine right now. If there's any other problems, my hourly rate for remote support is this. And then they get the message that, hey, next time I call this guy, I'm going to have to pay for money. So
that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good tip too, because I think a lot of us, computer repair techs, they want to help people. You know,
yes.
I think that's one of the reasons that we do this business. And in doing that, we've got this soft place in our heart that just goes, all right, let me help you out. But I think you do have to set boundaries, and that's a great tip.
And I don't mind helping, especially I'm more sensitive when I have to deal with seniors, you know, because
sure.
You got to be very gentle with them. That you need to explain things slowly, make sure that they understand. Okay, if you want to check your email, you click here.
Right.
If you want to go this Facebook, you click here. And sometimes, you know, you explain things. Like, for example, I was trying to remote into a customer computer, and I was explaining to her, okay, you need to double-click on the mouse. She was double-clicking with two fingers, of course, both buttons
right.
at the same time, the left and the right, double-click. Yeah, nothing is happening, of course.
Oh, I would have never even thought. Now, how did you figure that out, that she was using both her fingers?
Because I decided to give them a free on-site visit, and
okay.
then she explained to me what she was doing. And it just got so aggravated. I said, you know what? I'm going to be there tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So, you know, we'll take care of all the issues. So, but you have, with seniors, you have to be very, very, you have to take your time and explain
right.
things to them.
Right. Now, so yeah, and there's probably, do you have a lot of seniors in the area you're in?
Yes, we do. Okay. Lately, I'm also trying to stay away from seniors. And, you know, it's just a business decision that I have to make.
Sure.
You know, they really consume a lot of your time. And it's just for me, it's, you know, if I have to do it, I'll do it. But it's not something that I want to build on to my business. Right. So.
No, it is. I support my grandmother who lives down in Florida, and, mm-hmm. and that's about as far as I go. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of seniors that are very, they're savvy. Very computer savvy, and they can work a computer or a tablet or a phone. And I do get those people all the time. But the ones that are, they kind of just want to use email and, you know, maybe check the internet for, I don't know what, maybe play a card game or something like that. Those are the ones where it's kind of difficult to go, okay, and walk them through those different steps.
Now, you've been operating out of your house all this time? You never had a shop, or you're not foreseeing in opening a shop, right?
Well,
yes.
My plan is, I work for one of the big three, and in doing that, I've got basically 9 years left before I can retire.
Okay.
And my goal is to maybe after that time to open a shop and do this full time.
Yes.
But with the overhead costs and different things like that, I'm not sure that that's necessarily a path I want to go down, because there is a lot of overhead and there is a lot of things that you have to pay attention to. And I think being a mobile tech like yourself, or even doing break fix here in mm-hmm. my home, I can probably still do that and still make a decent amount of money on the side from, you know, my retirement.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've never owned a shop, and I have thought about it a couple times and said, no, I'm happy doing what I'm doing right here. And, you know, the people that really want good service mm-hmm. and when they talk to me on the phone, I think most people can tell whether a person is a decent person just by how they talk to them.
Yes.
And I think when these people talk to you, they either trust you or they don't. If they trust you, they're going to bring you their computer. If they don't trust you, they're going to go someplace else. And the reality is, from a lot of different shops around here, I get a lot of people that come back to me and go, yeah, I'm never going to that shop again. You know, I get the business anyway, so it all comes back around.
I know, yeah. So. It's very hard because, you know, when you are in the corporate world, you have all these benefits, you know, you have your 401k, you have health insurance, dental insurance, and, you know, free eyeglasses and things like that. So, you know, if you add up all those things that you will have to come up with the money for, you know, those are additional expenses, so... it's pretty hard to, it's an option, but you really have to think about it. One thing that I bought a book from Matthew Rodella. He's the, your friendly neighborhood computer guy.
Yep.
I love that guy. I've been following him since day one, ever since he started to blog about, thinking about opening his own business, you know, thinking the strategy on how to name your business, how to get your license, and all these little tips and tricks that you, when I was going back in 2009, 2008 and reading all these blogs, I said, my God, this is wonderful, beautiful. And then out of nowhere, boom, the guy leaves his job. Now he goes open his own business. And voila, it's the American dream. You know, that's what we all want to do. You know, I've always wanted to be my own boss and have my own business. And little by little, I think I have a backup plan in case if anything ever happens in the corporate world, then I think I have some tools that I can rely on and depend on for, you know, stable income. But I still have, you know, a little bit more growth to do and more time.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. If for whatever reason, if I ever lost my job, there's not a doubt in my mind. Now, this is the weird part. There's not a doubt in my mind that I could actually make more money doing computer repair.
Yes.
Or, you know, the IT field versus mm-hmm. working at my job. Because my job, you know, working for the big three, my job's still in the ups and downs, and you know, you've got the good times and you've got the low times, and it's fine. But you know, with the benefits and stuff like that, that's where it's hard for me to kind of jump ship and go, okay, you know, that and you know, a wife and five kids, yeah, all kinds, all plays in there. So
I know. It's hard. It's pretty hard.
But even after 30 years, I will still be young enough that I can, you know, with a retirement, I can go out there and actually do this full time like I want to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen a few years down the road. I mean, I'm always going to do computer repair or electronics repair of some sort. I think it's going to be around for a long time. You know,
that's what we love.
Exactly. I love technology. I was kind of complaining the other day because I had, you know, I'm trying to do five different things at once. I've got a computer in front of me. I've got a tablet sitting next to me. I got my phone ringing. I got a laptop over here and, you know, and my mic in front of my face. So, you know, but
I know.
It's what makes me happy. So it's all good.
I love it.
So what types of, I know you mentioned a couple software tools. What are your favorite tools that you use for, you know, fixing computers?
Well, it all depends. Tools that make money or tools that don't make money?
Well, not tools that you just play with, but tools that actually do something in the computer repair field that help you.
I have one of my favorite tools. It's a very old tool. It's called CleanUp. And it's something that you just install and it gets rid of all the junk that you have on your computer. I may send you the link.
With me,
but it's just called CleanUp. The other one is Seek Cleaner, of course. Everybody uses Seek Cleaner.
Right.
My only problem with Seek Cleaner is that it only cleans the profile that you're running with.
Yes.
CleanUp cleans everything. So I only use Seek Cleaner for the registry. You know, I do CleanUp first. I use Seek Cleaner for the registry CleanUp. And, you know, then I do the additional adware removal tool, the junkware removal tool. I use Nynite to reinstall applications and update applications.
Okay.
I use Patch My PC just to make sure that everything is properly updated. Also, you know, Java, Flash, and all those other third-party software that we use. I also mentioned the Complete Internet Repair tool. I love that tool. I mean,
that's
it just resets all your TCP/IP settings and your host file and your firewall settings, your Internet Explorer settings, everything. I love it. Of course, the number one champion in the world is Malwarebytes.
Okay.
I love Malwarebytes.
Yep, that's a great tool.
I refer the paid version to my customers whenever they are concerned about security, so they have dual protection. You know, the one that I set up for free, which is Microsoft Security Essentials, that's my number one antivirus that I go to.
Okay.
And then if they want additional layer of protection, then I offer them the Malwarebytes. I'm not a reseller with Malwarebytes because the volume that I make, it's so low that I don't think it really compensates for, you know, for the volume right now. So, but I'm thinking about it. The other tool that I use is, and this is critical when you're dealing with a computer and you want to grab all the drivers, it's DriverMax. I mean, this is free software. It creates a folder that is called My Drivers. And when you reload the operating system, if you're missing a driver, you have everything there. It's a beautiful tool.
Okay. Okay.
For defrag, I use the AUS Logics. I think I'm pronouncing this right. AUS Logics.
I've seen this tool. I don't think I've ever used it.
Disk defrag, and it's a portable version.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. It's a very well organized graphically. I mean, it's simple. It just gives you, you know, like a preview of what the hard drive looks like.
Okay.
And then you can decide whether, okay, if it's 10% defrag or less, then I'm not going to defrag it. So if it's 20, 25, then go ahead and let it do it. And I love that tool. The other tool that I love is the ESOS To-Do Backup. I mean, I love this backup application. It backups, it creates image backups, it creates just regular file backups, depending on what you want to do. For my customers, I create an image backup every single day, and I set up like a recurring cleanup just to keep like the last 2 weeks, just in case if something ever happens, we can always have something to go back to.
Okay.
Plus, of course, I'm a Carbonite reseller, so they if they're missing something in these images, then we can go back in history through Carbonite. So
right.
That's another option. And this application, the ESOS To Do Backup, allows you to send set up email notifications. And it's free. So
okay.
The paid version, I'm using the paid version for Windows 8 because you know, they realized that they had a good product, so now they're charging for it. But start all the way up to Windows 7, it was free.
Okay.
Starting with Windows 8, then it's a paid version. It's like $39, $40, something like that. I don't mind. If the customer sets up like a recurrent monthly backup plan with me, then, you know, the initial setup fee will cover for the cost.
Right.
So I think that's fair.
Yep.
The other tool that I love is the this is a password recovery CD for, you know, going back in time and any Windows 7 and prior. It's a PC Logging Now.
Okay.
And it's a CD that you can download and just boot the computer. And it just tells you what accounts you have in the computer. And then you say administrator, user one, user two, reset password. Password is blank. You reboot and then remove the passwords. And that's handy because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, I get a laptop from a customer. I call them up. They're sleeping. They're not responding to text. And, you know, I got to get my work done that day.
So, right.
You know, just boot up the laptop, remove the password, do what I need to do. And next day, I just let them set up a new password. So, you know, that's something helpful. So I think those are some of the tools that I use. I mean, there are a lot of other tools, you know,
sure.
But these are probably the primary ones that I go to every time I have some kind of issues or problems with computers. So, and they're all free. So, you know,
okay.
I don't spend any money on those tools.
Now, let me ask you about the defragging, because I'll be honest with you, I haven't defragged a computer in I don't know how long. Are you seeing... Is it actually helping the computers once you defrag them? Are you seeing enough slowdown that it matters with the newer operating systems?
Honestly, I don't think it really helps a lot. It just makes me feel good
okay.
knowing that my file cabinet is well organized and that I don't have blocks all the way down here and all the way down there. But in terms of performance, do I notice it? Nah.
Okay. I just yeah. wondered because I thought maybe I'm missing something and maybe that's something that, because I still see the defrag tools out there,
yes.
even for the newer operating systems. So it's like, okay.
It's a term that has been in the market for many years and customers relay to that term, defrag. Oh, I got to defrag my computer.
Right.
Because they think it's something that really, really, really helps a lot. I prefer to change performance settings on a computer. You know, when you go into the memory settings and you change the paging file.
Okay.
And in my case, you know, like I'll give you an example. A Windows 7 64-bit workstation. I hear a lot of people just let the system manage the paging file. In my case, I get better performance when I go in and I manually set up the paging file twice what the memory is. So let's
okay.
say if we have a computer with 4 gig of RAM, just set it up to, 4096 will be 4 gig, you know, 8000 something will be 8 gigs.
Right.
I do notice a lot of performance improvements when I change those
okay.
settings. So,
because I think it's still when you're setting up the paging file, you're setting it up in a particular spot that it's going back to, instead of when you fix the size, it's staying in one spot instead of moving around all on the disk and where it has to search for it.
If you let the Windows system manage the paging file, it shrinks
yep.
and it expands when it's needed. In my case, I say, okay, I want a big table. Just put everything here in the big table.
Right.
I don't care if it's one piece of paper or two pieces of paper. Just lay it all out here.
Exactly.
You have all the space for memory. So right. just dump it all.
Well, that's a good tip because, you know, again, that's not something that I would have thought of. The other thing that I use the seat cleaner for is for actually set, you know, getting rid of some of the startup items. Instead of going in manually and doing that.
MSConfig.
Yeah, instead of doing MSConfig myself, I just use CCleaner for that. And it's worked beautifully for me for years.
Really?
Yeah, I've never had a problem with it. But
what I do is anytime I have a very, very slow computer, the first thing that I do is I go MSConfig and I disable all non-Microsoft services and I disable all the startup items.
Okay.
Change the settings on the memory, the paging file. And, you know, let Windows change the settings for better performance, reboot the computer, and you gain a lot of speed like that.
Okay.
That will give you some time to clean up and get better performance on the computer.
That's a good tip because I know a lot of times I'll go into these computers. I actually probably do essentially the same thing on, you know, Windows 7 and earlier. I go into safe mode. Usually if they tell me it's slow or infected or whatever, I just automatically, I don't even mess with it. I just boot into safe mode, run some tools from there, clean some things up, and then I'll go back into regular mode. But yeah, sometimes I know with the Windows 8 machines, you got to do some changes in the BIOS to get it to go into a safe mode. And
I haven't worked a lot with Windows 8 yet. I'm just testing the waters right now. So my experience with Windows 8 is very limited just to reinstalling Windows and that's it. Not really troubleshooting. Of course, you know, the problem of you get the tile interface and then you got to go to the desktop and you install an application. You got to find the shortcuts and put them on the desktop. I mean, it's just a pain. But honestly, I think Windows 8 has a much better response than Windows 7.
Yes.
I mean, it's definitely much faster. So that's something positive. And I think once you get to the 8.1 upgrade, it lets you boot directly to the desktop and bypass the Metro interface.
Right.
So, I mean, at least I think Microsoft got the message that, hey, you know, you can't change things too fast because people are going to complain and they're going to move away from you. So I think they got the message.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've been running Windows 8 probably since it came out. And the only thing I did was I put Start 8 on it from Stardock.
Yep,
and I know, that worked fine for me. So it boots right to the desktop. So I never had to worry about that the whole time. But I still kept the Metro apps running where I could hit my Windows key and actually go in and mess with some of the things because when I first started working on customers' computers that had Windows 8, I looked like a complete idiot because I couldn't find my way to the control panel.
I know. They will just tell you, oh, you start typing and it will come up.
Yeah. After I finally figured that out, I go, okay, I got that now. But, you know, it was kind of frustrating because I'm like going, yeah, I really need to start learning how to use this so when I'm in front of somebody, I don't look so dumb.
Yeah. One thing that I want to mention here is I know that I hear a lot of people talking about the what they call the work market, you know, like OnForce and all those different sites. I don't use any of the sites just because of the price that they offer to the techs.
Right.
I think it's an insult. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my case, I don't think I will ever work for any of those companies. If you read the fine print on how much money they're charging the customers and how much money they're paying you, I don't think for me it's worth the time or my value or even my, you know, just out of respect, I don't think I will do it. So any of the, I register with a couple of sites and I get emails on the daily basis and I just laugh when I look at the things that they're offering you. You know, it's like $35 an hour. You will get paid 30 days after you provide all the documentation.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, are you kidding me?
No.
I don't know. Have you tried those marketplaces?
No, I've thought about it before because I'd heard about them a long time ago. And it was one of those things when I saw the prices that they were charging, I'm like going, no, I'm my own brand. I want to set my own price and I want to take care of the customers locally. And that's all I'm interested in. Good customer service, you know, stand behind what I've done, you know, my work ethic and all that. And I don't want to deal with all those companies out there because I think it is an insult. you know.
It is. I listened to a podcast. I think it's the Phil. God, I forgot the name of the. Anyway, but this guy is always trashing these marketplaces, and I hear his pain because, I mean, he's right. You know, just the price, you know, is like $35, $40 an hour for something that you can charge probably two or three times more.
Right.
It's not worth our time.
No, I don't think so either. No, that definitely not something I've been interested in. Well, any other things you want to go over? I think we're... pretty close to an hour.
I think we covered pretty much a lot of things here. I mean, I just wanted, I guess, you know, I'm on Twitter, but I use Twitter just to post things here and there. I don't use it to promote business, you know, maybe sending tips and tricks to my customers. I stopped the newsletter that I was making before. You know, I was just spending too much time on it and right. making no money. Sorry. And I guess, I mean, for me, it's such an honor to be in the show. And, you know, PodNuts has always been in my, you know, I guess, go-to podcast. You know, many years ago when Steve Cherubino was on board and then some other guys took over and we just need to revive this channel and make sure that it's alive and kicking. So, I mean, for me, it's an honor to be in the show and always a pleasure.
Well, Jorge, it was really nice to have you. And I'm glad that you enjoyed being on the show and I enjoyed having you and talking with you. That's really what this is all about, this community of, you know, repair technicians that we can share ideas in this format that people can listen to and hopefully get a couple tips that they might be able to use in their own repair shops. I think that's the most important thing.
That's the part that I love because, I mean, just you and I having a conversation, I know that we talk about a lot of different things, mm-hmm. but I know that something will stick out there to somebody that is looking for help and, oh, really? I can do this with this. Oh, yes. And then you start listening to other shows and okay, you know, and then you learn and you learn and you learn and you become an expert. So, I mean, this is, you know, it's beautiful.
Yep, I agree. Well, what's the, if somebody wanted to ask you a question or something, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Via my website, you know, okay. It's 123computerrepair.com. You know, I have a contact form there, so it comes directly to me, my email. So that's the best way to.
Okay. And that's how I got a hold of you. So
I love that, it. That I worked.
All right. Well, again, Jorge, appreciate you coming on the show. You can find me on Google Plus at Jeffrey Halish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, email us at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. And I want to let you guys know you can also help support the PodNuts Network. The next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Your price doesn't change at all, but you put a little change in the pocket of the PodNuts Network and help everybody out and to bring these shows to you. And we just appreciate all the support out there. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on PodNuts Daily.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.